Hey, what is happening in San Diego? And welcome in to another week of Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3. A happy Monday to you. That's right. Enjoy your Mondays. Remember, it's 1/7 of your life, so you might as well enjoy it to its fullest. And to that end, we plan a very good show for you this afternoon. And we'll be rolling until about 5:30. Then our partner in crime here, Matt Scraby, will take over with the Padre pregame show, all leading up to tonight's broadcast between the Padres and the Minnesota Twins and the Major League broadcasting debut of one Sam Levitt.
Yes.
Can we get a round of applause for Sammy today? I mean, I'm really excited for him. Tony Gwynn Jr. and Jesse will be moving over to do television tonight. But Sam is getting his the big shot tonight to do the ball game. I can't wait to listen to him. I know he'll do a great job. And Tony, I think, you know, before we get into the Padres and stuff, but the thing with Sam, we all realize here's a guy that did minor league baseball in God knows what cities. I know he's
Amarillo,
he finished up in Amarillo, but before that, he was in a bunch of different outposts. And now he's done the Padre pregame show for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Today he's getting an opportunity to kind of live out his dream and do a big league ball game. Hopefully it's the first of many. But my point is, to all of you out there, whatever it is you're dreaming about, don't be afraid to put in a little work. Put in a little work. Sometimes you get rewarded. Tonight, it's good to see our guy Sam Levitt getting rewarded. He's excited.
As he should be.
Yeah.
He's taking the same path that most guys in these seats have to take. So it's earned. He gets a couple of cracks at it, and we all wish him the best.
You know, he will do well.
What Sam went through all of that, Noah Eagle did not. So Sam has worked very hard
stop.
For this.
Now you're ripping on Noah Eagle because
are
his
you
dad...
sure Noah Eagle didn't
yeah,
do any of that?
Yeah, we don't know that. You just think that Ian Eagle gave him a job.
I don't
if
think
I'm
that.
Ian Eagle, if I'm Ian Eagle, I wouldn't come on this show ever again because you said that.
Yep.
I would just.
I didn't say anything about his dad.
Well, yes. Exactly.
So you're just
going to
talk
saying.
About his son and think it's not going to affect the dad? What's wrong with you, man?
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
Dumb.
And
you know what's funny? What's funny? Last Thursday, Friday, we didn't have any comments like that. Everything was nice and smooth running.
But you're right. We didn't have any comments like that.
He is back after a few days off, and obviously, before we make too much more fun of you. We hope that you had an okay weekend. I know it was a difficult one. You went to your grandfather's funeral services up north, so we do welcome you back.
Thank you.
I do want to get all of that in.
And then
everything
you can make
went
fun
okay.
Of me.
Yeah, we good on there? Like you doing all right?
Oh yeah, I'm doing all right. I mean, it was one of those things where, well, first he actually passed away on May 14th, so we had a little bit of time to all kind of
May 14th of this year.
Yes.
Oh, good.
We
couldn't. I thought maybe you waited like a couple of years. If you waited 6-7 months, you know why hurry?
Yeah, I don't know. We had to find a date that worked for everyone who was able to fly in and all this stuff. So we did.
Okay.
My grandpa. There were some stories that came out of this weekend that I've never heard before. And it's just fun to actually get to celebrate him instead of being so sad. You know,
that's good.
I've been to a funeral for my grandparents where it's like four or five days after their death, and it's just really sad. No one's up for joking, but we were all joking, having a good time. So yeah,
very good.
I'm glad that you're back. Glad that you're feeling well. Now that we've gotten out of the way, could you get on your job and put me on the chat like with everybody else? I'm just sitting in this backstage waiting room for you to allow me to join. Hey guys, how's everybody doing?
Hey, hi, Tony.
There
looking very
is.
Sharp out there today. Very nice. And your Tony Gwynn Sr. T-shirt. Looking very sharp.
You know, the good thing part about working TV is I can show up in a T-shirt because I know I'm going to put a suit on at some
point. You're
going
to have a suit on. Why is Tony Gwynn Sr. hitting a beach ball on that T-shirt?
Because that's what he sees,
that's what
Chris.
It looked like to him.
See.
Is that the idea?
That's a great shirt.
That is the idea.
That was the idea that for him it looked like a beach ball. All right, very good.
Oh, I forgot to mute Tony once again. Adam's in the. Adam always helps us because I forget to mute you.
You know what? Adam could have used your help quite a bit there, buddy, I must say.
In the muting department.
Oh, my gosh. Hot mics almost every show for long periods of time. And thankfully, I was on my best behavior.
You usually are. It's me that gets crazy.
Yeah no, we
nobody said
we definitely were getting the chat was our helpline. They were the ones letting us know, hot mic, like all through the chat.
I was getting texts from my wife. Her friends were texting her.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We had hot mics going for 10 minutes, I think, one time.
It was like the whole break at one point.
This fills me with anxiety, even though it's in the past.
Yeah.
It's just like,
that's what you missed.
It's like the time that we couldn't get the feed to close when we were at Spiro's that one time, and someone heard me just yelling out to the engineers, yes, I've already tried restart. Yes, I've already done this.
Yeah, Scraping is ornery when stuff like that. When the pressure builds and his anxiety builds.
Yes.
You don't want to be on the other end of one of those phone calls.
No, the first thing I do is restart the computer because I know you're going to tell me to restart the computer.
Yeah, well, you tried that on Wednesday night. How'd that work for you? Isn't this great?
I forgot about that.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to need that button like right next to you all the time.
Keep that one handy.
All right, I got to pull this up real quick. Yeah, okay. I forgot. That wasn't as frustrating, though, because during the Scraby show, I feel like people are listening to have fun, and everybody seemed to be having a good time with my play-by-play of Control-Alt-Delete and, okay, this isn't working, and then me texting Adam on the air. So, yeah.
Chris and I definitely could feel your skin crawling as it was happening in real time. Like, as we were watching it, as Adam was replaying it for us and we were watching, I was uncomfortable for you at that point.
There was a certain amount of, oh, God, what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do? And then I realized, you know, Adam said this to me on the phone after, which is so true. I had everything planned to talk about for 15 minutes, and I needed to go to break, and it's like I had nothing else I could have said. I could have just kept talking about what I was talking about.
For those, by the way, that don't, we should recap a little what happened to you.
Yeah, good point.
You went to a commercial break on Wednesday night when you were in here alone doing the Scraby Chronicles. So there's nobody else in here. You're running the board and doing the show.
Yeah.
And when you went to push the button to play all the commercials, the board just gave out.
Yes.
And
just
so basically
died.
You were like still on the air with no commercials.
Nothing.
And no way to play one.
Nothing.
And you were looking into the camera like, I am clueless. I have no way. And then you uttered those famous words, oh, isn't this great?
Everybody,
yeah. Isn't this great?
Yeah, I have to pull this up real quick. That was actually a fun thing.
Yeah,
if you missed it, you can go to my Instagram because it's on there, at Matt Scraby.
Yeah, that was quite a moment for you. But anyway, we've all survived everything.
It's just great, everybody.
There you go. Keep that handy. Keep that handy. We all survived that. We all even somehow survived. We're all here today smiling. The sun is shining after losing 2 of 3 to the Rockies. And the Padres, of course, Tony, have their streak of winning 8 consecutive series ended by who else? The Colorado Rockies. They have just been a thorn in our side all year, and they were this weekend. I did the pre and the post on Friday night. I thought the Rockies played a pretty good game. They made some great catches, some big defensive plays. They pitched like they never pitch yesterday. So, I mean, I don't know. The Padres have to be, you know, upset, too upset about it. It was bound to end at some point, but I guess I'm not surprised that the Rockies were the ones to end it.
Listen, I don't think anybody should be surprised. I mean, we said the moment you and I talked first game of that series that you can't predict anything. It's been nice the way the Padres have played and all that, but for whatever reason, when you walk into that building, it's all bets are off. Like you can't predict how that series go, especially if you have a Padre uniform on, because the Rockies play some of their best baseball when they see the brown and gold show up to their building.
They did.
They pitched. It wasn't just that the starters pitched good. The bullpen, which has been one of the worst in baseball.
It is the worst in baseball. Make no mistake about it. They're like a run worse ERA than every other team.
They pitched like they were a bona fide back end bullpen.
All of a sudden, Tyler Kinley looked like Mariano Rivera in the eighth inning, and Victor Vodnik looked like Trevor coming into Hell's Bells in the ninth. What the hell was going on?
Facts. And listen, I mean, the Padres, for the most part, I thought offensively had opportunities. Yesterday they only had four, so that might have been, one of the only ones they did. In the two previous games, they had a ton of opportunities. They went 0 for 8 the first game.
And four
they
bounced, double plays in that first
four
game,
Four double
too,
plays.
Tony,
they bounced back the second game. They go 4 of 12, had some big hits. And then, you know, as often the, what is the phrase they use when just 1-1 and you need to win this last game in order to win
the rubber game.
The rubber game. There you go. And oftentimes in those rubber games, especially on getaway days, they tend to be tighter games, at least it seems like. And the Padres made the one mistake. Peralta unable to handle that ground ball. The runner ends up advancing to third, ends up scoring on the next play. That ended up being the difference in the game. And, it's one of those things. For whatever reason, the Rockies had the Padres' number.
Yeah, they went 8-5 against the Padres this year, which is just ridiculous when you consider that they're 7-23 against the rest of the NL West. It is what it is. It's been a season full of a lot of surprising things. We've run them down, you know, practically on a daily basis, from Profar to, you know, Higashioka to Jackson Merrill to everything else that is Waldron, you know, to Suarez, but to everything that's happened that has been kind of, you know, pleasantly surprising, and winning the season series over the Dodgers and winning, you know, 19 out of 23 games for the first time in franchise history. So I guess losing to the Rockies just kind of goes along with the theme of this year. And, you know, I don't think you get too down about it. Now, the key thing is you come home, you got a, you know, pretty good homestand here. The Twins are good. The Mets are good. And like to turn it right back around starting tonight. And to that end, it's Michael King's turn. So
yeah, Michael King's turn. It's a pretty good Twins team, though. They're coming off of almost completing a four-game sweep. Or almost getting swept, I should say, by the Rangers. But this is a good ball club. I was going through some of the offensive guys. They got some guys in there that are similar to what we've seen this year from our time, right? Carlos Correa comes to mind. This guy, he's hitting .308, but he's got 9 homers, 48 RBIs. He's not, the power isn't there, the average is up. They got a couple guys like that on their team where power is down, I guess, for what they normally do, but the average is up. And so it'll be interesting to see how this series rolls. They got some pretty good pitching. They got a good closer at the back end. Padres got to come to play, for sure. These next two series, I mean, you got the Twins coming into town, you got the Mets. So for whatever lull that people will want to say they had, they'll have to get right back to it here today.
Yeah, the Twins are similar to the Padres in a lot of ways. Not the least of which is the record. The Padres are 70-55. The Twins are 70-54. So they almost have the same record. Here's another way they're almost identical, Tony. The Padres and the Twins both have 7 different players in double figures in home runs. And you look at the Twins, there's a bunch of guys that the average baseball fan doesn't know about. But Trevor Larnach, 12 home runs. Ryan Jeffers, 19. Willie Castro, 10. Royce Lewis, we've heard a little about him because of the Grand Slams, but 15. They're a lot like the Padres. They can spread it all up and down the lineup with that.
Royce Lewis is a stud,
too. Yeah, he is. Yeah,
first round pick out of number one pick from 2017 draft. This dude can play. He hasn't been healthy. He's been hurt a little bit in his start at the big league level, but he came on the scene in that playoffs last year when he was going, hey, all right, just before the playoffs. This is a good team. This is a good team for sure. But the Padres just got to focus in on doing what they do, playing how they play.
Yeah, we'll try to get off to a good start tonight. As said, Michael King will start it. Sammy Leavitt will call it. But it's all coming up a little bit later on this Monday afternoon. We will talk some Twins. Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune will join us. We'll get the latest on this week's opponent. We also have some fun stuff today for you, including a fair or foul segment that in itself might land in foul territory. So stick around for that coming up a little bit later on. Our regular features, Daily Gambit, the Big Five, Chris vs. the Fans. It's all coming your way with Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby. Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
You know, before we went to break, I had it right the first time, and then I second-guessed myself. Twins are coming off taking 3 of 4 from the Rangers, not the other way around. So, as I said, Padres with their hands full. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. I had to think for a second because, you know, I had been plugging Adam's name in there past week.
Oh,
so.
Man, we've had fill-ins galore for Scraby here. I mean, are you about done traveling now, or do you got another,
trips planned for September? I'm certainly happy that you finally started using some of your off days. We couldn't get you out of this place to save our life. Even when you were
sick. We used to beg for you to leave.
Yeah. You were sick, coughing on us sometimes. You just kept coming on in.
Gave me COVID one time.
I didn't know I had COVID. I wasn't even feeling the symptoms yet.
Didn't he get you, Chris? He took you down, didn't he?
Yeah,
he
took you
down.
The only time I got it. Oh, that you know of, because, that you know
so
of.
So kudos to you, man, for taking some time off. It was much deserved. We are definitely happy to have you back, though.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back. I have so many vacation
days. I feel like my
days.
Job security is much higher with you on the ones and twos than Adam Klug. So.
Well, apparently so, since Adam was trying to get you fired by leaving your mic hot.
Well, hey, I'm going to give Adam this. For the most part, Tony turns his mic on and off, so I don't know. I don't know.
I don't. That's the thing.
Do I just do it and like not even think about it?
I was telling Adam when I was telling him it was all good, I usually go to turn my mic off, and by the time I go to turn it off, when we're done, you've already turned it off most of the time. I don't even think you know you're doing it. It's just habit.
Not.
So I've gotten into the habit of not really reaching my hand over there anymore. And then it almost came back to get your boy last week, man. It was scary at times. All right. Padres.
That is scary.
Twins. Injury update. Now, I'm pretty sure Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton are both IL'd right now, which is probably a good thing for the Padres. We don't have any word as of yet on Ha-Sun Kim. Left yesterday's game after jamming his shoulder. And, you know, typically, if I'm being honest, you know, typically when Ha-Sun gets hit up a little bit, I kind of don't pay much attention because usually he's down on the ground for a little bit. And he's back in the game. But this particular case, once I started seeing him sprint towards the dugout, I was like, oh, man, that's not a good thing right there. So
it was not a good sign, honestly.
We don't have any word yet on what his health is like and how if he is going to miss time, what does that then look like for the Padre infield?
There's a couple of things on this. Number one, this is a big, significant deal, right? I mean, Ha-Sun Kim is, even though he hasn't played a Gold Glove caliber shortstop this year, he's probably still the best option to play shortstop. If he weren't, they would have already put somebody else there. So while you can look at the roster and say, yeah, we got a million shortstops, just plug anybody in there, they might be able to put Cronenworth at short and Arise at first. They could move Xander. They could do a bunch of different things. Yes. But is the infield defense going to still be as good as it is with Ha-Sun Kim out there? And I think the answer to that is probably no. So that is why I think it's a significant development. So let's just wait and see. I think the other thing is Mike Schilt is going to speak to the media in about an hour. And I'm pretty sure that'll be the first question. And I'm also pretty sure that I'm taking a guess, and I'm not meaning to poke fun at Mike Schilt. But I'm pretty sure he'll be pretty vague in the answer. Because the Padres are always kind of vague in these injury answers, I must say. So I don't expect to find out the exact he'll be out 11 days. Like, I don't think we're going to get that. You know, I just don't think we're going to get
the
that.
Ring?
7 days.
I think we're just going to be wondering a little bit after this, but I think he's going to be missing some time. It just looked that way, Tony. It really did. I hate to say. I hope I'm wrong. So.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to guess. I think, you know, the fact that he came out certainly is something he doesn't normally do. You know, he normally stays in the game and, you know, finishes it out. So the fact that he did come out may say that it might be something he has to miss time. My guess is we'll get a good answer from Mike Schilt today in terms of what happened. If he has to miss time, we'll find out. Because they certainly will maybe give him a day to see if he's not in the lineup. They'll certainly give him a day to see if it can improve a little bit. But if not, you know, you can go on the IL and you can get somebody up to in his spot. But he may not. I get the sense that I have the feeling that he's not going to miss a lot of time, and he may not miss a game. So we'll find out.
I hope you're right.
That could be why the lineup is not out at this point, because they're going to wait to see how he feels coming in today. So we'll certainly see. Joe Musgrove made his second start of the season yesterday, or not of the season, since he's returned from the IL. Threw the ball pretty good. Looked like he got a little fatigued there at the end, started losing command, and I think that's when Schilt decided to make the move. But, you know, another day, another game in which velocity was up, spin was really good. He's still cleaning up, I'm sure, some of the command things that he liked, but all in all, I think another good performance from Joe Musgrove.
Thumbs up from Joe. And I know he wants to go deeper into the game, but it's not quite ready yet. So, these are good things. I mean, get Musgrove in this rotation on a consistent basis can only be good news for the Padres. And if you look at the bigger picture of the weekend, I think that's part of the bigger picture. So, I'm happy with that. I'm a little concerned, you know, about Short, but like you said, if Ha-Sung even has to miss 10 days or a week, I think they're okay. But I think if they got to go quite a ways without Ha-Sung Kim, I think it's going to overall affect the quality of their defense in the infield, and I think that is a big deal. The infield defense is a big deal.
How much it affects the defense, though? I mean,
how much?
Like,
I don't know.
Are we talking about you're going to give up a run a game now? What were we talking about?
Yeah, two runs an inning, Tony. Two
Let's
runs
see
an
what
inning.
Ha-Sung Kim's war is.
Yeah, his war is pretty big. I don't know. I think
it's two something this year. Two something.
Yeah,
seven,
I just don't think that. I don't think they have a shortstop that can cover as much ground side to side as him.
2.9 war.
So, I do think that there will be. It will be. You know, I think there'll be some balls that he normally gets to that, you know, Cronenworth or whoever plays shortstop, Tyler Wade, whatever they're going to do, is not going to get to. So, I do think there'll be, you know, not a big noticeable difference, Tony, but over time, I think those little things can add up a little. So, I worry. That's just my lot in life.
I don't know if I worry about this. I mean, I certainly think we're a better defensive team with Kim in, but I don't know that his defense this year has been on the same level as it was last year, which really set him apart from everywhere. I think the Padres are good. I think they're in a position to be able to absorb this. If it's for 10, they can handle 10. If it's for 20, they can handle 20. But, you know, it would feel different if Ha-Sung's offense was at the level that it was last year and his defense. You're talking about missing a big piece. I think the guys, what this team has shown this year is that when a big piece goes down, a Bogarts, a Machado at like 50%, whoever it may be, a Toddy, they got guys that fill in and hold the fort down. And they've lost some bigger pieces, I think, at times this year, including the pitching staff that, you know, for all year they've been able, somebody has stepped up. And I would expect, because this is what I consider a good team, good teams find ways to fill those gaps. So certainly you don't want to miss a guy like him. He's a vital part of this team. I don't think that's in question. But this team, unlike I think any team that we've seen in the four-year run of being competitive, this team can absorb it better than any other team that this Padre organization has had in that last 4 years.
There's no question the acquisition of Arise at the beginning you know, which gave them, you know, an extra piece in the infield is a huge thing here. And
for sure,
the fact that Solano has been so good that you've almost been looking for a way to get his bat in the lineup, well, this would obviously
great
open
time,
up.
Right?
Yeah, this was going to open up a spot for him in the lineup. So you're absolutely right, Tony. They're well equipped to deal with this. But I don't think any of us want to see them go, you know, too far forward at less than full strength, because we want the best version of this team, you know, to head into September. And, you know, let's just see what we hear on Ha-Sung. When we hear, we'll let everybody know.
Well, what we can tell you is that he is not in the lineup tonight.
Okay, we do.
We're
going
to get
that
to break. Should we get the lineup now, or should we give it after we come back?
Scrabby can't wait another minute.
I really can't, actually.
Scrabby can't wait another minute. Go ahead, Mr.
All Glenn is the same except for Peralta. And so you got your first six, all the same. Arraez, Profar, Cronenworth, Machado, Bogarts, Merrill. Peralta, that's pretty much the same. And here's where the rub is. Higashioka hitting eighth. Tyler Wade hitting ninth, playing short. So that will be the first lineup thrown out there today for the Twins. As I said, you don't have a Correa. You don't have a Buxton, Castro, Larnick, Lewis, Wallner, Santana, Kepler, Julian, Vasquez, Martin.
Sounded like a law firm to me, the Twins one. I didn't really recognize
Vasquez and Martin.
Face Chris Paddock. I didn't look up the...
I didn't recognize too many of those twin names, honestly.
I think the sheriff might be on the IL, too.
Oh, shocker.
Oh, that's not very...
You're so mean. You're just so mean. You're always looking for an opportunity to ding these guys.
Your face said it all, too, for those who were watching the YouTube feed. Shocker.
Yeah. That's
what you
just did my face. That's hilarious.
Let's go to break. When we return, Minnesota Star Tribune gets us a little more acquainted with this Minnesota Twins roster. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Hi, congratulations out there to me. And congratulations out there to Scraby. Why, you ask? Both of us qualified for our Fantasy Baseball League playoffs, which start today. Scraby took the number 3 seed in the first round. I took the number 4 seed. You finished one game ahead of me.
I did.
In the standings, we were supposed to, as of last week, be the 4-5, in which we would have matched up in the first round, Tony. And that would have created some havoc around here.
First of all, congratulations
Thank
to
you.
Both of you. I love the fact that Chris was goaded into being in this league.
Yeah.
And is a
he's the 4 seed. I'm the 4
seed. Yeah. He's in the playoffs. He's representing just like he should. Now he just needs to wreak havoc and go ahead and win the whole thing.
I would like to win it all, and I would like to beat Scraby in the final.
Oh, that would be great.
But
the champ is over here.
Yeah, at the moment. At the moment, we'll see.
You know what, Trevor, who I'm matching up in the playoffs, he's our fantasy baseball commissioner. He texted, "I can't wait to beat you like I should have beat you in the finals last year." And I said,
"Oh, this is a rematch of last year's final."
Yeah. How did that work out for you? Champ is over here.
This could spell doomsday for you, buddy.
I know.
And
I know.
As usual, I'm sorry I brought it all up in the first place. Anyway, congratulations to us. We are in the fantasy baseball playoffs. We'll let you know how that goes.
Congratulations to us.
One more quick fantasy-type note here. Scraby, once again, has got everybody or a chance for everybody to sign up to play in our NFL Survivor Pick'em League.
I was out after week one, I think.
Last year, I think you were after week one, Tony. There's no gambling involved here. You just go on, you sign in, and you get a chance to play the Survivor and, you know, stay alive as long as you can. I don't know what we had. Last year, there was a limit on how many people could get in. But this year, according to Scraby, no limit.
No.
We can just have everybody out there listening. You want to be part of our Survivor League, have some fun. You can do it. But tell them where they got
to
go.
Yes, I'm going to post. If you go to 97.3 The Fan SD, you can see it. Also, I'm going to post on Twitter right now for the actual link to it.
All right, so make sure you join that. You got a little time. Obviously, the season doesn't start for a couple more weeks, but you know, we want everybody to get signed up and get in our fun Survivor League. I'm sure Tony will get in there. I'm already in. Scraby's in.
Yep.
I've been casing my neighborhood. Got a lot of my friends and people there. Yeah, I'm getting everybody in. So
good.
There's there's always some good bragging rights at hand there. So make sure you get signed up for our Survivor League. Now let's go out to Phil Miller, who is very nice enough to join us here from the Minnesota Star Tribune. Is it the Minnesota Star Tribune or Minneapolis Star Tribune?
As of yesterday, it's the Minnesota Star Tribune.
As of yesterday, they really renamed
it. Weird.
They renamed it yesterday? Really?
Yes. We're rebranding to try to be more statewide.
Okay.
So, we've got t-shirts and everything.
I'm sure the people in the outposts of Minnesota are going to be pleased that they are more included in the Star Tribune coverage. Phil, thank you so much for joining us. Twins are here in San Diego. I look at these teams. I see a lot of similarities, not only the record. I see the fact that the Twins have seven different guys with double-figure home runs. I think the Padres have the same. Which tells me, you know, not a lot of 40-50 guy home run guys, but everybody with, 15 to 20 tells me everybody in that lineup is dangerous. And, is that kind of what we should be looking for here?
Well, it tells you that a lot of them are hurt. the biggest news with the Twins, and, they're not the only team like this, but three of their, I don't know, six best players are on the injured list and are not here. Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton are out of the lineup, and Joe Ryan is out of the rotation. So they're kind of it's quite remarkable that they're still in the race. But yes, their lineup has some surprising punch in it. I thought Carlos Santana was washed up in spring training, and I couldn't understand why they signed him. He has been the spark behind his team the last couple of months, and they're getting good play. Ryan Jeffers has a career high 19 homers. They're getting good play from surprising people.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Phil. You look at this team; a lot of similarities to the Padres. You got some guys in there that don't necessarily stand at the top of the list in terms of homers, but there's just a bunch of guys kind of doing the same thing. And then you go to the pitching side, they're finding ways to get this done. I mean, you guys are smack dab in the middle of this thing in the Central. How does it get done if the Twins are to pull this out?
Well, they need good starting pitching, which they have been getting mostly, but they have three rookies in the starting rotation right now. They've had a fourth who isn't currently with the team, but they are getting a lot of innings from guys that are in their first go-round. You'll see Zebby Matthews tonight making his second big league start. I mean, that's kind of where they are, but it has worked. They are getting good pitching. If they're going to win, it starts there, because the back of the bullpen is pretty good. If they can, it was unusual for them to blow that lead yesterday. If they can get it to the final three innings with a lead, they do pretty well.
You know, Rocco Baldelli, I think, is one of the better managers in baseball and has been for a while. Talk about, why and how he has been successful over the last several years. Having the Twins, a, quote, smaller market team, in the running on a consistent basis.
Yeah, he's very, very much a player's manager, much more so than I've ever experienced it, even though their last two managers, which I covered, were both players as well. But he's very he has the players in mind all the time. They're making things as easy as possible for them. He's also very much a follow the numbers guy. He's out of the Rays system. Learned how to manage basically with the Rays, so he follows numerical evidence quite a bit. You'll see they pinch hit a lot because he's always looking for an edge. I tell you, I don't know how they are two games out right now, but he has done a good job of piecing it together day by day.
I continue to go through these numbers, and the similarities are right there. I mean, both teams don't strike out a ton. They both seem to value contact. I want to talk a little bit about Royce Lewis. He's the stud, the young stud that you guys have, finally healthy a little bit. I mean, how much does he bring to the table offensively for this Twins ball club?
He's crazy good, and like all the good Twins, hurt a lot. Yes, he's missed 2.5 months, or 3 months this season so far. But he is probably the most important player in their lineup. He's got 15 home runs, and he's played, I don't think he's at 50 games yet. So he's a spectacular hitter. He was the overall number one pick, 7 years ago now, I guess. And he looks like it. He's a superstar in the making, but he's twice injured himself this season running the bases, just pulling up with quad strains, and keeps missing time. With Buxton and Correa out, a lot of the load is falling on him and on, like I said, Carlos Santana to kind of carry them.
Phil Miller from the Minnesota Star Tribune, our guest here, Twins in town, taking on the Padres. 3-game series. Phil, some trades wind up to be bigger deals than others. Here's one that hasn't turned into a whole lot. April of 2022, the Twins got Emilio Pagan and Chris Paddock from the Padres. The Padres got Taylor Rogers, Brent Rooker, and some cash. None of those players are left with the current teams we're talking about, except for Chris Paddock, and he's hurt. He hasn't pitched since July 14th. But I must tell you, he was one of our favorites here when he was in town. He was almost a little bit of a legend status with his sheriff repertoire, mm-hmm. etc. How have things gone, other than injury-prone, for Paddock in Minnesota?
Well, Cowboy Chris has that same profile in Minnesota. I love the boots, I love the hats, he's the only player I think I can recall who wears the stirrups on his sock, which is with him visible. He's very much a unique character. I feel bad for him. He's had two Tommy John surgeries. He came back last year right at the end of the season and pitched some in September and some in the playoffs and really had them optimistic. He has pitched well at times this season and other times not so well. And he's been on the injured list twice now, but this time it's a shoulder problem, and it's it's not a Tommy John situation, and I just talked to him last week. He said he's determined to pitch again this year, so we'll see if that happens. He had arthroscopic surgery 2 weeks ago now to clean out the shoulder, and is pretty upbeat about it. Says it's 100% better. I would like to see him back on the mound because he's fun to have around, but off two Tommy Johns, off of an injury-filled season, they're very, very much going to limit his innings, even if he does come back.
Phil Miller joins us, Minnesota Star Tribune. And, Phil, last one for me. I mean, the top half of this division has been a bit of a surprise. I mean, really, between the Guardians, the Twins, and the Royals, it's been a pretty top-heavy division. I mean, was that expected going into the year that the teams would be playing this well at the top?
I don't know that people took the Royals very seriously. They added a lot of veterans in the offseason, but no stars.
Yeah, two from the Padres.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that I don't think they were taken very seriously. But that shows you what Bobby Witt has done for them. They're a different team now. They're a confident team. The Twins just had them and beat them 2 out of 3, but they were kind of a handful. The Guardians, the Guardians and Twins have been at the top of the division for a few years now. I think the Twins came out of spring training pretty confident that they were the better team and would probably win the division, but that, of course, counted on health, and they have not had that much of it. I would say that the Guardians are an interesting team because they don't hit as many home runs but as most teams, but they still string together enough of an offense in other ways that that they're kind of a pesky team. They're like a team of Louis Rises sometimes. It feels like. So the Twins could have been a game back today, but they blew a lead yesterday in Texas, and it's still a very confident clubhouse, I'll say that. Even with all the injuries, they feel like they're the better team.
Well, we'll see how it all turns out. Twins are right there in the AL Central. Padres have worked their way back into the NL West. Said the records are the same. The similarities in these teams does not end. One thing that finally ended for you guys, Phil, was an 18-game playoff losing streak. Finally, last October, the Twins beat the Blue Jays and then beat them again to win that first-round series. We got about a minute left. How frustrated did the fans get, and how big of a relief was that finally to get back get a win in the postseason? Because that was crazy.
Yeah, it is. And the crazy thing about it stretched back to 2003. The crazy thing about it is it meant so much to the fans and the city and the people around the team. But to the players, it was like, that was 15 years ago. What do we care? But, in 2017 and in 2020, they were saying the same thing, and then they got swept. And mostly, you could just see how tired they were of talking about it. And so the relief to the players is it's just not a topic anymore. I think it does give the fans more confidence if they get there. The one thing is they have a crazy bad record against the Yankees. The Yankees were like 12 games of that streak, so they still have a thing about playing the Yankees. They lost all six games to them this year,
and that's who they'd match up with if the playoffs started today, but they don't. Yep. There's still a long way to go, and it's good to have them in town. Good to have you in town, Phil. Thanks so much for your help,
Phil.
Today, good stuff, and we'll see you out at the ballpark.
Appreciate it, guys. Wait till I tell them we called it the Minnesota Star Tribune. They're going to be so happy.
Yeah, that's right, and we'll keep calling it that for you.
Thanks.
All right, buddy. Phil Miller right there, Minnesota Star Tribune, and some good stuff on the Twins. And they really, it's crazy. The Padres right now do have the number one wild card spot. Twins have the number two wild card spot. They both have the same amount of wins. You look at like you said, Tony, they both make contact. Have a bunch of home run hitters, but nobody with like 50. So it's going to be, I think, an interesting series that starts tonight out there at Petco Park. We'll take a break, come back, more Gwen and Chris on the way. Hour number two includes Daily Gambit and Fair or Foul, which I believe you'll agree landed most decidedly foul.